Now, breaking news from WREL. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, a bomb threat forces school administrators to evacuate a local high school. We're live at Apex Friendship High School with an update on that threat.
Plus, a man who broke out of jail with Elder Maureen Sotelo is back in custody. What we're learning about his days on the run.
We do begin with that breaking news, and it's out of Apex, where police are conducting a sweep at Apex Friendship High School. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WREL's Joe Fisher has been talking with people on the scene. Joe, what can you tell us?
Renee, a bit of a chaotic situation here outside of Apex Friendship High School. You can see all of the traffic here that's lining up. Parents are, you know, coming to the school trying to pick their kids up. There is a line forming at Apex Friendship Middle School to pick up those high school students after that bomb threat was called into the school around 10:30. We do have video from Sky 5, which was up over the scene, showing the thousands of students that were evacuated after this bomb threat was called in. We do know just in the last 10 minutes from talking to students here on the scene that the school has opened up, so students are able to go back in and get their belongings. We are learning that the school is allowing students to leave for the day. Again, that's at Apex Friendship High School where that bomb threat was called in. The middle school, students are still in there, apparently on some kind of lockdown as this situation plays out right now. We're learning from Apex Police that they did an initial sweep of the building. The building was cleared of any threat, and now they are bringing in bomb-sniffing dogs for added protection to make sure that there is no threat here at the school. We did get a chance to talk with quite a few students and parents here on the scene, just telling us that obviously this is concerning, getting an alert of the bomb threat. They are happy to know that things appear to be just fine inside the school. Right now we have students kind of running around the area, trying to get their belongings from inside the school. Again, a little bit of chaos. I do want to swing things around just to show you what traffic is looking like here outside of the school. A long line of cars, presumably parents, funneling into the middle school just trying to pick their children up. We are working to get some updated information from the Wake County Public School System right now as to if school is canceled for the day. But like I did mention, school administrators are leaving, are allowing students to leave for the day, and we are seeing students with their parents leaving the school here. We're going to continue to follow this, but again, that bomb threat called into Apex Friendship High School around 10:30. As of right now, no threat has been found. Back to you.
And Joe Fisher with what we know about the situation at Apex Friendship High School. We know you'll stay on top of it. Thank you.
An inmate who spent over a week on the run is now in federal custody. Bruce Callahan escaped with Alder Maureen Sotelo from a jail in Virginia. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is live at the federal court on New Bern Avenue with what we know about Callahan's days on the run. Chelsea.
Yeah, I actually just interviewed the chief of the U.S. Marshals who works here in the federal courthouse behind me here on New Bern Avenue. He tells me around 5:30 this morning, 44-year-old Bruce Callahan walked onto Longwood University's campus. That's in Farmville, Virginia. And he actually approached a female college student. She was actually pretty alarmed, so she decided to pull a fire alarm on that university. And that, of course, alerted campus police. Like you said, a little more than 8 days on the run, Callahan was captured by authorities. He was then transported to a hospital in Farmville, just minutes from where he escaped the Piedmont Regional Jail. He actually escaped 22 hours after Alder Maureen Sotelo, that is one of the brothers that is accused of murdering Wake County Sheriff's Deputy Ned Byrd. Now, the U.S. Marshal says Callahan and Maureen Sotelo were actually bunkmates inside of that jail. They say Callahan had likely been living in the woods for the past 8 days and surviving perhaps only on river water. Just a few minutes ago, they told me he was released from the hospital and that he's currently being interviewed by the U.S. Marshal Service, and then he will be placed back into Marshal's custody, not back into the Piedmont Regional Jail. Now, you'll recall that Callahan has ties to Robeson County. He was convicted of multiple federal drug charges. His record shows for trafficking large amounts of fentanyl and cocaine. And we should also mention that Maureen Sotelo last week was taken into custody on May 4th by Mexican authorities. He was captured in southern Mexico in Guerrero. Now, the Department of Justice says the penalty for escaping prison or a jail is 5 years if convicted. You'll hear more from the chief here of the U.S. Marshals Service in this Eastern District coming up in our later newscasts. Back to you.
And we'll look forward to those details as well. Chelsea Donovan on New Bern Avenue for us this noon. Chelsea, thank you.
It is going to be toasty today with highs in the upper 80s. Today and tomorrow will feel more like summer. And tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day. Elizabeth Gardner joins us now to explain the timing of these severe weather threats.
So we're looking at tomorrow, mainly afternoon into the evening. We have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. Damaging wind would be the biggest threat. Here's a look at the outline of that. And you can see the level 1 risk stretches from Roanoke Rapids all the way back down here to the Sand Hills into Moore County. And then the level 2 risk is along and east of I-95. Damaging winds would be the biggest threat. At around 12:30, the Storm Prediction Center sometimes gives us an update to these outlines, and it's possible that we would see an update because over the last 24 hours or so, we've seen less and less amounts of rain with the system coming through. The cold front right now is well to our north and west. There's some showers and thunderstorms out ahead of it, and here's what looks like could happen by tomorrow. This is 10 a.m. We could see some sunshine, so partly cloudy skies as we get through the afternoon. It's going to be a very warm day. Temperatures in the upper 80s, lots of humidity, but apparently not enough moisture in the atmosphere to actually see a lot of storms pop up. You can see just one or two there around 5 o'clock, just say around Southern Pines or down into Hope County, and then we move it on through the evening, and that's pretty much it. So we'll see if we get an update from the Storm Prediction Center. This is another look at a different run of the model. This is a longer range model, and you can see that cold front dropping down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a hint of an isolated shower, but again, everything that pops up 5, 6 o'clock is south of our viewing area. So we'll continue to watch this closely. We'll let you know if there are any updates. And coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk about our potential for thunderstorms this afternoon.
Elizabeth, thanks. A large AT&T outage has been affecting customers in Durham for days. WRAL's Monica Casey has spoken with some of those customers. And Monica, they say they're considering switching providers at this point.
Well, that's right. The people I've spoken with aren't just frustrated by the length of this outage, but the lack of communication from AT&T. This began for most people on Thursday night. It was affecting Chapel Hill, but now it's limited to this area along Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard. I spoke with one man who says this has impacted his wife's work and his son's schoolwork. They already lost one day of work without internet on Friday, and today doesn't look much better.
We don't know when it's going to be back. So that's kind of the frustrating part is I think everyone wants to be patient, but there is a point where, you know, it's impacting your next week and you're still waiting. So having a little bit more information will be much better.
And Pierre Roux tells me his home got some service back last night, but it was too spotty to be useful at all. We have reached out to Chapel Hill and Carrboro City Schools, as well as Durham Public Schools, to see if they have faced any impacts from this. AT&T did tell WRAL this weekend this outage may be from a fiber optic problem in the area, and it could take 3 to 7 business days to repair the issue. We have reached back out to the company to try to get more answers on what exactly caused this and an updated timeline on when these areas could see internet service again. Renee?
No doubt it's been so frustrating for those folks. Monica Casey, live in Durham.
A student athlete's death over the weekend has shaken the North Carolina Central University community. WRL's Brian Schrader has a look at some of the reaction that's coming in. Brian.
Jeff, in the past hour, we've heard from a university spokesman who said the school had no comment about the death of Devin Butts. The basketball player was just 22 years old when he died unexpectedly Friday night. Butts was a Georgia native and played basketball in high school there in the Macon area, and he was expected to graduate from North Carolina Central University this summer. Well, as word of Butts' death spread over the weekend, so did the tributes on social media. The university's assistant basketball coach Nigel Thomas said in a Facebook post that Butts' infectious energy and smile could light up any room. Now, this afternoon, we are working to learn more about how Butts died. Look for updates later today on WRAL News.
Obviously a team favorite there from some of those tributes. Brian, thank you. Condolences and tributes are also pouring in for another Eagle who died last week. Keon Brown spoke of his trademark smile, his leadership on campus, and his many accomplishments. A memorial service will be announced at a later time.
Hundreds of thousands of people had their federal student loans forgiven since October 2021. We're talking more than 600,000 borrowers are now debt-free from their student loans. The Biden-backed program promises to wipe away remaining federal student loan debt after an eligible government or nonprofit worker, such as a teacher or police officer, makes 10 years of monthly payments. Another 6,000 borrowers in the program will see their loans forgiven soon. Altogether, those cancellations will total $42 billion of federal student debt.
Carolina Hurricanes are looking ahead to game four of their playoff series with the New Jersey Devils, and they would definitely like to forget about game three. Disappointing loss. The Canes were down early, big in this game, ended up losing 8-4 the final. The Canes still have a 2-1 lead in the series, and game four will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in New Jersey. And WRL's Casey Hintz is there at Prudential Center. She will have reports for us tomorrow on the Canes.
Next at noon, protests grow over the chokehold death of a man on a New York City subway. The calls for charges against the man who held him in a headlock.
Also, new airline refund rules, how you'll be better protected from cancellations and delays.
And updated information for teens when it comes to when they can get their driver's license, the time frame for a permit to become a full license.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to that evacuation at Apex Friendship High. We've just learned that threat has cleared and classes will resume to normal schedule. They will dismiss at 2:18 p.m. as usual. We just heard from Joe Fisher earlier in the show saying that the Apex Police Department was responding to a bomb threat at Apex Friendship High School. Again, that threat has cleared and classes will resume. You can look for further updates coming up at 4 o'clock.
We have the latest now on the chokehold death on a New York City subway train. Calls for criminal charges are growing against the passenger, a former Camp Lejeune Marine seen restraining 30-year-old Jordan Neely. NBC's Emily Aketa spoke to some of the protesters.
This morning, growing outrage surrounding the chokehold death of 30-year-old Jordan Neely. Demonstrators demanding justice and calling for criminal charges. Some even jumping onto subway tracks in protest, leading to clashes with police. Authorities say 13 people were arrested so far. It comes as we're learning more about what happened on that deadly train ride when Neely was placed in a headlock by another passenger for at least several minutes. That passenger, now identified as 24-year-old Daniel Penny, a college student and Marine veteran. In a statement, his lawyer writing, when Mr. Neely began aggressively threatening Daniel Penny and other passengers, Daniel, with the help of others, acted to protect themselves until help arrived. Adding, Daniel never intended to harm Mr. Neely. While Penny was questioned by police, he has not been charged with a crime. But calls for his arrest are intensifying.
We will try our hardest to make sure that he's held accountable.
A source telling WNBC's Jonathan Deans that before help arrived, NYPD dispatchers received 5 911 calls, including several people reporting a man making threats on board. Neely, who police say was arrested more than 40 times, was homeless and known to be struggling with mental illness since his mother's murder in 2007. Still, his family attorney says he was a talented street performer who loved to dance and make other people happy.
He had demons. And we all know people who are on the brink of going through something major, and that's where he was. But he had a life that he was living.
Neely's name was on a top 50 list of homeless people identified as having acute needs. That means the city's Department of Homeless Services was aware of his struggles. City workers say oftentimes people on that list disappear.
A memorial is growing outside the Texas Outlet Mall where a gunman killed 8 people Saturday. The FBI is asking for anyone who has video or any other information about what happened to step forward and help their investigation. Authorities executed a search warrant last night at the suspected shooter's home. Neighbors say 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia was quiet and kept to himself. 8 people died and 7 others were hurt in the shooting at the Allen Premium Outlets north of Dallas. Police shot and killed the gunman. People who saw it happen said the shooter seemed calm throughout the attack.
we basically turned and watched, and as we were watching, the shooter goes right across. He's not running, but he's kind of in a deliberate assault type move.
One of the shooting victims, Christian LaCour, was working as a security guard at the mall. The Gun Violence Archive says there have been 199 mass shootings in the U.S. already in 2023, and we're just 128 days into the year.
New refund rules will be announced today in an effort to better protect you when your flight is canceled or delayed. WRL's Laura Levine previews what we expect the Biden administration to announce in just a couple hours.
It has been a very turbulent year for many people dealing with disruptions at the airport, from flight cancellations to delays. The goal now is to inspire passengers with more rights. President Biden and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg will say whether the airlines have controllable delays or cancellations, for instance, because of maintenance issues or staffing problems, then you should be eligible for some compensation. In addition to refunds, they will have to offer timely customer service during and after periods of widespread irregularities.
If anything, it'd make me want to travel more.
This eager passenger heading to Houston tells me this policy would make for a great safety net.
A lot goes into like going on a trip even before you fly. So like you have to do all the packing and prep work. So to do all that and to then not be able to like make your trip, I think it's only like responsible that you should get reimbursed for that.
There will be also newly expanded customer service information on the online dashboard that DOT rolled out last summer. It highlights the airlines already offering cash compensation, travel credits, or vouchers.
We will hear from President Biden today at 1:45. Laura Levine, WRL News at RDU.
And we will live stream the president's comments on WRL.com.
The announcement comes just 3 weeks before Memorial Day. Travel experts expect summer travel to be back at pre-pandemic levels. The TSA expects airline passenger levels will be even higher than before the pandemic, despite rising airfares. On the road, AAA is forecasting a busy summer driving season. One reason, gas prices are way down from a year ago. The national average today, $3.54 a gallon. A year ago, it was $4.30, according to AAA. And yes, at the end of the month, the summer travel season will be on. But already today, it is feeling like summer.
Yeah, the humidity out there is unusual. Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center, there's not going to be anything to kick that out for a couple days.
Yeah, I was out for just a stroll around the building a little while ago, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's starting to feel hot, even without a lot of sunshine. Right here is a look at our high-resolution satellite data. And the white areas, obviously, are the clouds. The darker areas are where skies are cleared. We do have a band of clouds that's just been passing over the bulk of our viewing area in the last hour. But you look back to the west, and we're seeing a bit more sunshine. That sunshine should help to destabilize the atmosphere a little bit, and that's going to help to kick off some thunderstorms for us later this afternoon. Here's our forecast, kicking it off right here at lunchtime. You still see a good bit of cloud cover, and then you can see some showers that develop, mainly from the triangular area southward, starting just after lunchtime and continuing through the evening commute. By the time we get to 7 or 8 o'clock, it's all out of here, and skies begin to clear overnight tonight. Of course, for tomorrow, we do have that level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. Damaging winds would be the biggest threat from this. Waiting on 12:30 or so for the Storm Prediction Center to do an update. Sometimes they do it around 12:30 or so, not always, but if there is an update to the level for severe storms that they're forecasting for tomorrow, we'll bring that to you. In the meantime, let's just go over our model again. We have our cold front that slides through. There's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything's pretty quiet. We do see some scattered storms developing, especially east of I-95, mainly closer to the coast. It doesn't look like very much of our viewing area is covered by that. But again, we should have some instability in the atmosphere, so we'll see how it goes. Behind that front, we see a completely different air mass coming through for Wednesday. It'll be cooler. It'll be less humid. It should feel very nice. But right now, it looks mostly cloudy as we look out across Wake County. You see a few thin spots in the clouds. It is 80 degrees, though, so it's definitely warming up. Our dew point's at 62. When our dew point climbs into the 60s, you begin to notice a little bit more mugginess in the atmosphere. We'll climb it into the mid to upper 80s this afternoon, so we still have a ways to go before we reach our high temperature. 87 in Raleigh and in Durham, and 89 in Fayetteville, so very warm afternoon. Of course, with the dew point climbing into the 60s, it'll feel like closer to 90 this afternoon, feeling like 91 tomorrow, and then Wednesday, back to 75. We're going to see a nice drop in our humidity. We see the dew point dropping into the 50s on Wednesday and Thursday. Even 58 on Friday shouldn't be too bad. We take a look at peak at Mother's Day. So our first look, it looks like it's going to be hot again for Mother's Day week. weekend. Both days, we'll see highs in the upper 80s. It'll be muggier, and we'll have a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening. So if you are taking mom out for brunch or the first half of the day, it should be fairly dry. We should see the same thing again on Saturday, but a nice little break there Wednesday and Thursday. Again, coming up in just a little bit, I'll let you know if there's any change to our severe weather threat for tomorrow.
Elizabeth, thank you. An Instagram post claims that when contraception is readily available, it increases demand for abortions. Today on your news at 4, WRL fact checks that claim.
Plus, WRL investigates your parking rights, why you could be out hundreds of dollars even if towing companies aren't following the rules to protect drivers. And if you're receiving free home COVID test kits without ordering any, be aware of possible scams. The latest way crooks are trying to get their hands on your money.
Plus, concerns about COVID are diminishing, and that's good news for one type of business. How public attitudes are helping a certain aspect of the restaurant industry make a comeback.
If you use Google Chrome, be sure you are updating regularly. Google found 15 security flaws, and engineers are working on a security update. The company says it'll be rolling that out in the coming days and weeks. You can click on About Chrome under the Help option, and it'll update manually if necessary. Chrome automatically updates occasionally. Charging options and prices appear to be reducing enthusiasm for electric vehicles. In March, 21% of new vehicle shoppers said they were very unlikely to consider an EV. That's up from 19% the previous month. Other reasons people cited for not wanting to buy an EV range from time required to charge, power outage and grid concerns, and inadequate performance in extreme temperatures.
Your future trips to the drive-thru may have AI taking your fast food order instead of a human. Hardee's and Carl's Jr. are already rolling out AI technology at the drive-thru windows of some locations. The company says the technology is giving employees more time to focus on other tasks like preparing the food. Increased safety precautions and lower COVID-19 cases seems to be luring customers back to all-you-can-eat restaurants. The pandemic forced buffet-style restaurants to shut down. But three restaurant chains across the country, including Golden Corral, report visits increased by 125% from January 2021. Inflation may also be a factor in returns to all-you-can-eat as people look for food value and regular restaurant prices.
Big shakeup for the MTV Movie and TV Awards last night. It was recorded with the ongoing writer strike going on. Now, the awards show had no formal host, which forced some major tap dancing among some, getting nominees to send in those pre-taped acceptance speeches. You'll likely see a lot of the happy winners populating your social media feed today, including the scheduled host, Drew Barrymore, who opted not to host the show in solidarity with the striking Hollywood writers. She won a golden popcorn for best host. Another Hollywood production held up by the writer's strike, season 5 of Netflix Stranger Things. This is set to be the show's final season. The Duffer Brothers, the show's creators, posted on Twitter, "Writing does not stop when filming begins. While we're excited to start production with our amazing cast and crew, it is not possible during this strike."
A man who drove into a group of people near a shelter housing migrants faces charges today. The new information we're learning about the crash that killed 8 people. Plus,
no age group is immune to having strokes.
May is National Stroke Awareness Month. We'll share the signs of stroke and why so many young people are having them. And hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
An SUV plowed into a group of people outside a migrant shelter in Brownsville, Texas, killing 8 people and injuring several others. Law enforcement officials are looking into whether the driver rammed into the crowd intentionally. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in Brownsville, Texas, where the investigation is ongoing. A warning now, some of the video may be disturbing.
Law enforcement officials tell NBC News that they're looking into whether the driver slammed into the group outside of the migrant shelter intentionally or whether it was an accident. Police say the driver, a Hispanic male, has now been charged with reckless driving, but that more charges could be pending. Now, this all happened Sunday morning as a group of migrants, many of them from Venezuela, were standing at a bus stop across the street from the migrant shelter in Brownsville, Texas. Again, authorities have not established a clear motive, but a bystander told NBC News that he heard other witnesses say that the driver yelled anti-immigrant language, although, again, police have not substantiated that, and it's part of the investigation. Now, so far, 8 migrants have died, and at least 9 others are injured, and the migrant deaths come as authorities here at the border prepare for the lifting of a COVID border restriction known as Title 42. Its lifting is expected to prompt another migrant influx here at the border. Meanwhile, this makeshift memorial outside of the migrant shelter is growing, and the mayor here says that several of those injured remain in critical condition. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Brownsville, Texas.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, we have an update to that story this afternoon. They have confirmed the driver of that SUV, George Alvarez, has been charged with 8 counts of manslaughter. At a press conference, the Brownsville police chief says Alvarez ran a red light, apparently lost control of that vehicle, and that's when it flipped on its side and struck 18 people. 8 people have died. Again, the motive remains unclear, but they have not ruled out the possibility that the crash was intentional. Officials are waiting on the results of a formal toxicology report to see if Alvarez was drunk at the time.
Back here in our area, we are working to learn more information about a shooting in Raleigh on Wake Forest Road. Police say a man was shot near the intersection with Six Forks Road around 4:45 yesterday morning. Officers closed the intersection for nearly 4 hours as they investigated. We talked to people who work in Midtown who say they hope the recent uptick in shootings in the area doesn't continue.
It's shocking to hear because it's not normal around here, especially on the north side of Raleigh.
I hope nobody got killed, and I hope everybody quits doing that crazy stuff. So I hope everybody stays safe.
Raleigh police say the man who was shot suffered serious injuries.
Here's a story that could have parents a little concerned. Thousands of new and young drivers could get their driver's licenses in a shorter amount of time. That's because new permit changes take effect today. WRL's Nye Harden explains how long teens will have to carry their permit before they get their license.
The big change is that a teen will now only have to have a permit for 6 months versus a year. And that means we can expect to see thousands of new drivers as early as today. The change is more about getting things back on track after COVID. Lawmakers say it's in response to parents still complaining about delays and wait times. Teens still need 60 hours of supervised driving with an adult and must pass a road test. Starting August 1st, new drivers will be able to take a friend to and from school. The governor did not sign off on this bill, saying it could make roads less safe, but he did not veto it either, so now it's law. The permit change is only temporary. Starting next year, the permit will have to be held for 9 months. Nye Harden, WRAL News in Garner.
Rising levels of anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts among teenagers is causing alarm. To try and address the mental health crisis, some administrators are calling for a later start to the school day. Ted Lindner takes a closer look at how such a policy is playing out at one high school and why the idea could be spreading across the country.
Some educators believe a later start time for schools could help address the worsening mental health crisis affecting many teenagers. The concept is already underway at Upper Darby High School in Pennsylvania, where this year, administrators moved the start time back from 7:30 in the morning to 9:45.
I've been much happier in the mornings. I've been more positive, and I've come to school smiling more rather than, you know, grudging out of bed and stuff like that at 7:30.
Because people go through large spurts of physical and mental developments during their teenage years, the National Institutes of Health says adolescents need roughly 9 to 10 hours of sleep every night to function at their best. Going to school later could give them more time to rest and better prepare for the day ahead of them.
People have the ability to satisfy their needs. They're just their basic human needs. Kids are sleeping more. Kids are eating breakfast.
But there's a small catch. While students at Upper Darby High School have a later start time, they still get out at 3. Some parents who oppose the delay say their kids are missing out on learning. But school administrators argue time is not going to waste because students are expected to use some of their free time in the mornings to complete assigned remote work relating to their classes for the day.
It's more flexible. I get to do my homework whenever I really want.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. California became the first and only state to mandate later school start times. They did it in 2019, and now at least nine other states are considering similar legislation.
Planet Fitness is providing a way for teens to fill up their summer days with a free gym membership. It's part of the Fitness Center's High School Summer Pass program. Starting next Monday, teenagers 14 to 19 years old can go to a Planet Fitness location near them for free after they sign up. The program's start comes during Mental Health Awareness Month. Planet Fitness says they want teenagers to put an importance on their mental and physical well-being. Too young for a stroke? Think again. Why strokes in younger adults are rising.
Also, age is just a number, some would say. Still to come, the age most people start to feel old and why they say they start to feel that way. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and doctors are issuing a warning. Strokes can happen to anyone, even young people. Stroke occurs when there's an issue with blood flow to part of the brain. It may be due to a lack of blood supply or bleeding in the brain. Some neurologists say younger people who experience stroke symptoms will sometimes put off getting help because they think it's something less serious.
We're seeing the incidence of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, things like that that were initially attributed to a much older age population that are occurring now in much younger patients in their late 20s into their early 30s.
It's important to remember the acronym FAST to recognize some of the symptoms of a stroke. F is for face drooping, A is for arm weakness, S is for speech difficulty, and T is a reminder that it is time to call 911. It's critical to seek immediate medical attention as strokes can cause permanent brain damage or death if treatment is delayed.
A warning now from the Federal Trade Commission. The agency says scammers are working hard before the end of the COVID-19 health emergency. The FTC says scammers are sending victims fake test kits, then billing their Medicare. If you receive unsolicited test kits, report them immediately to the Department of Health and Human Services. It's Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and one North Carolina lawmaker wants to expand our knowledge of Asian American contributions to history. How a new bill could mean that education starts as early as elementary school.
An amazing story of survival from the land down under. A woman is safe now after spending 5 days lost in the Australian bushland. How she survived after the break.
A bipartisan push to include Asian American and Pacific Islander history in North Carolina's K-12 curriculum is making its way through the state legislature. It's a timely topic as we recognize AAPI Heritage Month all month long. Joining us now is one of the bill's primary sponsors, State Representative Ya Liu of Cary. And before we get to the bill, I want to take a moment and recognize Representative Liu as a trailblazer in her own right, one of two Asian Americans to ever serve in the North Carolina House. Representative, good to have you on the program. So let's talk about this House Bill 619. Why is it important for students in our state to learn about Asian American Pacific Islander history from kindergarten through 12th grade?
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Renee. AAPI history has largely been left out in the history book. I think it's so important for our kids to learn about the AAPI contributions, so they can understand that AAPI community has always been an essential part of our community, and AAPI history is a part of our Americans' history. I'm really excited about this bill.
And what aspects of AAPI history would you like to see taught in the K-12 curriculum?
I'm hopeful that the topics would include the early history of the Asian American immigrants in the 1800s up to the present, the contributions of AAPI communities in arts, history, technology, medicine, and science, also the struggles of the AAPI community experienced throughout our history.
as well as their role in the civil rights movement.
Over the past few
years, we've seen a surge in hate crimes against Asian Americans nationally. Why do you think learning about AAPI history and issues could help stem some of that ignorance and hate?
Renee, you are absolutely right. I truly believe discrimination and hate comes from a place of ignorance. People are less likely to attack or hate if you know about their histories, their contributions, and that's exactly why I want to introduce this bill, to educate people about the contributions of the AAPI communities on our state and our country. So hopefully that will reduce the discrimination, the hate incidents in our communities.
And Representative Liu, just a little time left. Some people might be surprised that there is bipartisan support for this bill. Where does it stand, and do you feel it will pass?
Unfortunately, we did not get a committee hearing. We are still working on it. Hopefully, it will become the part of the budget. Last week, we established the AAPI caucus in the legislature, and we are hoping that this bill would be one of the priority bills we'll be working on. So if it's not this session, we'll continue to work on it until it becomes law in our state.
All right. We'll keep tracking it, and we know you'll keep pushing for it. Representative Yao Liu, thank you so much for joining us.
A woman who disappeared 5 days ago in the Australian outback has been found after surviving on lollipops and a bottle of wine. Her dramatic rescue was caught on video by a police helicopter. This is the moment a police helicopter spotted her car at the end of a dirt road there. She's waving in distress. She'd been driving towards a dam. She hit a dead end. Her vehicle got stuck in the mud. Unable to call for help without mobile reception and unable to walk due to health issues, she had to stay in her car. After she was rescued, she was taken to the hospital to be treated for dehydration. But otherwise, she is okay. Glad she's safe. She's lucky. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Now a look around town here on a humid day in Raleigh and beyond.
We're really changing up the weather pattern. We did see highs in the 80s yesterday, but we're really, you know, looking at upper 80s, feeling like 90, a bit more humid. Afternoon and evening thunderstorms, a very summer-like pattern for us. Here's a live look at Goldsboro, and we're seeing a little bit of blue sky there with some cloud cover. It is mostly cloudy here in Apex, but check out Chapel Hill. At least this view from Top of the Hill Restaurant, we're seeing just blue skies. And of course, there's a look at our Fayetteville newsroom. You can see the sunshine there on the sidewalk outside of it. So we don't have an update yet to our severe weather threat from the Storm Prediction Center, but it could be closer to maybe 1 or 1:30 if they're going to update it for tomorrow. Again, our biggest threat would be damaging wind. We have that level one risk from Roanoke Rapids back down here to, say, Southern Pines and Pinehurst, and then along and east of I-95 from Edgecombe County down to Sampson County. That's where we have the level two risk for tomorrow. Here's a look at what's happening out there right now. Here's the cold front that's going to sweep through, and there is a cluster of thunderstorms that's diving right out of the Midwest down toward the mountains of North Carolina. That's likely to roll through here a little bit later on this afternoon into this evening and help to bring us a chance of some scattered thunderstorms. Right now, we take a look at Dual Doppler 5000 radar. Nothing has started to pop up yet. There's maybe a little sprinkle back to the west, but you can see not a whole lot showing up at the moment. Here's a look at Futurecast. We're likely to start to see some of this developing up around parts of the northwestern corner of the state and even down to the south as we get into, say, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. Notice a lot of the coverage is going to be in our southern counties. This is where we have a little bit more moisture in the atmosphere and a little bit of that daytime heating helping to fire up some of those showers and thunderstorms. We'll push it ahead to tomorrow. Our cold front starts to drop in across the area. We could see an isolated shower maybe right around or just after lunchtime, but it looks like the best chance of any showers or thunderstorms would be around 4 or 5 o'clock, especially in our far southeastern counties. Those counties that are highlighted in that level two risk look like they'll obviously have a better chance of showers and thunderstorms, but really that's about the only spot where we see showers and storms developing in terms of our area. Damaging winds would be our low to medium threat. Not likely to see tornadoes or flooding, but hail is also a low to medium threat. How much rainfall? If we add both of the days together, today and tomorrow, we're looking at, in some places, a quarter to a half an inch, but really from the triangle. Triangle area, northward and westward, we may be looking at maybe a tenth of an inch or so at best. We'll take a look at what's happening for the next 7 days. Warm today and tomorrow. Our heat index is going to be right around 90 or into the low 90s today and tomorrow. Both days, we could see a few scattered thunderstorms. It could bring us some strong damaging winds. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday look nice. We'll see a drop in our humidity. It'll be especially pleasant Wednesday and Thursday. We do warm back into the mid-80s on Friday. Next weekend, for Mother's Day weekend, it'll be humid again with a small chance of afternoon and evening thunderstorms, feeling like summer.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. I know why I got this story. Have you noticed any new gray hair?
Yes.
Maybe an ache you hadn't felt before?
Yes.
It is all part of the aging process. A new study reveals when many Americans stop feeling young. You're not there yet.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Students and staff at Apex Friendship High School have been given the all clear after a bomb threat forced them to evacuate. At 10:30 this morning, the police department announced they were investigating the threat. WRL Sky 5 was over the school as students stood outside. The school system announced the school was safe around 12:10.
An inmate who spent over a week on the run is now in federal custody. Bruce Callahan escaped with Aldermarine Sotelo from a jail in Virginia. Callahan was found at Longwood University, just a 10-minute drive from the facility where he escaped. He was convicted on multiple federal drug charges. His record shows charges for trafficking large amounts of fentanyl and cocaine in Robeson County.
A large AT&T outage has been affecting customers in the Triangle for days. It began Thursday night, affecting parts of Chapel Hill. It is now limited to the area along Durham-Chapel Hill Boulevard. AT&T told WRL this past weekend that this outage may be from a fiber optic problem in the area. Repair time could take 3 to 7 business days.
The Tesla Cybertruck might not be in reach for quite some time, but someone just bought a cheaper knockoff version. The Plyber truck was initially made to compete in a contest for cheap vehicles. It is made from a 2001 Acura MDX model, and now its body is made out of plywood to look like the stainless steel Tesla Cybertruck. It's an all-wheel drive automobile, legal to ride on the streets, insured, and even has transferable license plates.
Three dresses from Princess Diana's iconic wardrobe will be auctioned off this summer. The dresses will be part of the Hollywood Legends auction from August 26th to the 27th. The late princess was one of the most photographed people in the world. Her fashion style caught the eyes of many. The three dresses are expected to be auctioned off for $500,000 to $1 million each.
Well, there's an old saying, right? You're only as old as you feel. A new study reveals many Americans say they start feeling old at age 43. That's when some start to notice their hair going gray or their body not feeling the same. The report also points to stress, loneliness, and diseases as contributors to people feeling old or older. Health experts say the pandemic has made people feel a lot older.
I feel like the pandemic has aged everyone by at least 5 years, right? Well, this will make you feel young. Our pet of the day, feeling playful, loves his walks. This is Beckham from Love Mutt's Rescue. He's about 2.5 years old, weighs 55 pounds. Beckham is crate house trained. He is quiet, gentle, and calm in his crate at night. He would be best as an only dog, and a fenced yard would be wonderful. Beckham will make a loving companion to a person or a couple who would like a happy house dog. His adoption fee is greatly reduced, so apply today to foster or adopt Beckham. LoveMuttsRescue.org.
Does he kick it like Beckham? Can he bend it like Beckham? Play a little soccer with him. Keto, paleo, no carb. We've heard of all these diet trends. Which one is best to combat the leading cause of death in America? We have the rankings today on WRL News at 4.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.